Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Sunshine today, 75. Tomorrow, some clouds and 74. Yay. Right now, that's your job. Then you would say the local temps, wouldn't you? That's
yeah, how, no kidding.
That's how.
Yeah,
that
well,
works.
it's 92 degrees, partly sunny with a hazardous air quality alert. How's that?
You still got that going on, don't you?
Yeah, we do actually.
I don't have any of that. I just I just have to smell the litter box in the basement. That's all I got.
Well. Going. I've got that as well. So there's your hazard.
That's true. That's true.
I have to clean the litter box today. So that's on the list of things to do.
The defense, or rather the prosecution, has rested in the case of Scott Peterson. This is the former Broward Sheriff's deputy charged with failing to prevent one of the nation's most horrific school shootings. It marks a significant milestone in a case that has drawn some national attention. Of course, we've been following it here for you, bringing you the audio as we get it every day. It stoked some impassioned debates about school safety, the duties of law enforcement, and the enduring impact of that Parkland school tragedy itself. The concluding act of the prosecution's case saw Broward Sheriff's Office Detective John Curacao take the stand. Curacao, the lead detective in the infamous February 14, 2018 shooting at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, presented a sobering account of that fateful day. Based on surveillance videos on campus, he traced Peterson's steps during the brutal shooting, painting a chilling timeline of events that occurred on that Valentine's Day turned nightmare. In a tense exchange during cross-examination, defense attorney and Curacao engaged in a verbal dance over the contentious question, could Peterson have done more to save lives? That's the state's case against Peterson. It alleges that he, being the school's assigned deputy, knew the shooter was inside the 1200 building. Despite this knowledge, they assert that he chose not to confront the assailant during the six-minute attack, a choice that resulted in catastrophic loss. However, Peterson, insisting that the gunshot's echoes disoriented him, claims he took cover next to an adjoining building while he attempted to discern the source of the sounds and call for assistance for an excruciating 40 minutes is what he did that for. So when you're like, well, it's confusing. It is confusing as hell at first. It is. But for 40 minutes, no, you are trained to go towards the sound, not hide in shelter for 40 minutes.
Well, and that's the thing, you know, for a civilian, for somebody who is not in law enforcement, it's very disorienting. I've never been in a mass shooting yet, knock on wood. Mm-hmm. It's America, so it's just a matter of time. But, you know, I have been around gunfire. Mm-hmm. And until you finally kind of get your bearings, it's like, oh, that's where that's coming from. Okay. But if you're somebody who's trained in law enforcement, you should be able to discern where gunfire is coming from.
Well, how about just common sense? You're in a school setting and bullets are going off. Unfortunately, the first thing that would come to my mind is it's happening in the school because of the last several hundred shootings that didn't happen outside of the school.
That's exactly it.
Someone would think, well, probably in the school, at least if you're going to play process of elimination and at least put your best foot forward, get in the school, start figuring it out. Peterson stayed in his position for 40 minutes, even after the deafening echoes of the shots had ceased and other officers had stormed inside the building. In the eyes of the prosecutors, Peterson's inaction in those crucial moments was tantamount to a betrayal of his sworn duty to protect. In an attempt to substantiate their claims, the prosecution summoned to the witness stand students, teachers, and law enforcement officers who had survived the shooting. These eyewitnesses provided harrowing testimonies of the terror that they experienced, with many affirming their awareness of the gunman's location. A training supervisor further amplified the prosecution's argument by stating that Peterson had failed to adhere to established protocols for handling an active shooter situation. In defense of his client, attorney Mark Ehrenklash declared his intent to call approximately 24 witnesses. These witnesses, according to Ian Glarsh, will testify about the uncertainty regarding the source of the gunfire. They underscore that point. A deputy who arrived at the school during the incident has already testified. He explained that he initially believed the shots were emerging from the football field, a significant distance from the 1200 building where the shooting actually occurred. The charges leveled against Peterson are severe. He stands accused of 7 counts of felony child neglect for the 4 students who were fatally shot and 3 who were wounded on the 3rd floor of the classroom building. Prosecutors claim that Peterson, who arrived at building 73 seconds before the shooter ascended to the 3rd floor, backed away instead of confronting the threat. He did. It's not an accusation. He did. In addition to this, Peterson is also charged with 3 counts of misdemeanor culpable negligence for the adults who were shot on the same floor, including a teacher and adult student who tragically lost their lives. A perjury charge also looms over Peterson as prosecutors accuse him of lying to investigators. However, it is noteworthy that Peterson was not charged in connection with the 11 who were killed and 13 who were wounded before he arrived at the scene. If convicted, Peterson now is 60 years old. He could face a century in prison and lose his $104,000 annual pension. The gravity of these potential consequences resonates with the gravity of the accusations against him, a poignant reminder of the heartbreaking events that unfolded on that fateful February day, of forever imprinting on the consciousness of that school, that community, and the nation. What's your thoughts on this? This is when you watch this and you see them talk and the interviews that he's done. All I see is an older man who's very much a coward. I don't think he's not a murderer, but someone who shouldn't have been in that job to begin with. He's a coward. And you know what? I mean, I couldn't do that job. I would never sign up to do that job though either. But if you did, and you didn't do your job, and all these people died, there probably should be some sort of consequence.
I feel like what happens is, and I take this back to like maybe a mall security guard.
Mm-hmm.
They just kind of hang out. They have like, you know, the ring of keys on their belt loop. They're not thinking they're ever going to have to do anything important. So I'm picturing somebody who's like, I'm retired, but I kind of want to do something. I'll go do this. Nothing will ever come of it. Maybe I'll have to unlock some doors. Maybe I'll have to tell some kids to knock it off once in a while. But I'm assuming he never thought he would actually be in the line of fire and have to save people's lives. That's the way I'm interpreting that. He probably didn't ever anticipate that he would be really in a war zone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just, I wonder how many other security guards are in this position where they're like, I'm retired. I'm just doing this so that I'm not bothering my wife at home, you know? And they're not really thinking, holy shit, this is where things really go down. Mm-hmm. There's somebody who might show up with an AR-15, a weapon of war shows up at a school. I mean, to have some like retired security guard is just beyond me. It's almost like you need members of the military standing guard.
Well, I mean, he was a member of law enforcement for many years. It's not like he wasn't trained in this by any stretch of the imagination. He was far more than a mall security guard and had all of the training involved in an active shooter type situation.
So then what happened?
Exactly.
He should know exactly how to react.
He was a coward. I think at the end of the day, he got scared and hid for 40 minutes. I mean, that is precisely what happened. He got scared and hid for 40 minutes. There'd be more redemption here in this case, I think, if after maybe 4 minutes or 3 minutes, he got his bearings and then went in. That would be far more forgivable than 40 minutes hiding out on the side of the building. There's no excuse for that. You have other people that are coming in and are storming this. You better damn well be there as well. And if you're just going to keep hiding, that just shows the level of unprofessionalism and the level of being derelict in your duty to serve and protect. That is your job. He is an officer. These children. So just to be like, well, he's an old guy. He just seems, you know, he's ashamed. He might kill himself. Yeah, you know what? He might. I'm not encouraging that. I don't want him to do that. But the shame and that he brought upon himself and his family and everything else for making that horrible decision, there are consequences to actions. I hope he can find peace with it and live out the rest of his life. Does it serve much by putting him behind bars for the rest of it? I don't know. But at the same point, if my kid was dead and I knew this officer did this, I'd be all about him going to jail for the rest of his life, going, you know what? You really fucked up, and we do have consequences in our society, so bye-bye.
Yeah. I can see that. I really can. Are there laws against being a coward? Do we want to cross that threshold?
Well, what would you say? I mean, if there was an officer that was involved and there was another shooting going on amongst other officers or another situation in general, and they just stood to the side and didn't do anything. I mean, this is the worst case scenario with these kids. I mean, I can't imagine a worst case. Well, yes, that's another one. That's another one where, and they are prosecuting some of those, but we're talking literally hundreds of people in that one, and government situation down there where they're 100% covering their ass and not speaking. And that's another one tied up in bureaucratic politics that makes people absolutely hate police, which that shouldn't be the case. People would have so much more faith in law enforcement if they stood up when things went wrong and they fucked up, because we all fucked up, and say, we fucked up here. This was wrong. Right. This shouldn't have happened. Here's how we failed, and here's how we're going to try and use this to educate other police forces and our failures so this doesn't happen again. Not, we did a great job. Look at our big hats. Everybody was doing great. Oh, is that Beto O'Rourke saying that we're doing shitty jobs? Get him out of here. That's what they did in Uvalde, because they're a bunch of fucking idiots. But yes, that's where these sort of things... And I do respect the police. I very much do. I have them on the show all the time. I have friends and family who are. There's very respectable police out there. But there's also several, as there are in everything, very bad, very shady, very corrupt, who will hide behind the blue and other people because they're going to cover their ass and that person's going to cover that ass for you. That whole thing needs to go away. There needs to be more transparency. And when things get fucked up, people take responsibility. That is the only thing that's going to bring the majority of our public back to having a more favorable opinion, I think, of law enforcement, because there's so much cover up. There's so much shit that goes on behind the scenes that, well, you know, that's the shadiest shit. That enrages people far more sometimes than the actual crime itself, which is what we're seeing right here. We're not talking about the kid who murdered everybody. We're talking about the officer who didn't do shit. And then the continued kind of, cover up into it. Although this department really didn't cover it up. So I'm not that mad at the department, because I think the department really threw him under the bus right away. And I've talked to some, investigators and former detectives and whatnot that think that was absolutely horrible. They shouldn't have thrown him under the bus right away. I said, I think it was one of the best things they fucking did. Because they immediately became accountable for it. And immediately pointed to what was fucked up. Now, was it done too quick? I don't know, without really investigating more. But it turns out they were right. It turns out, even though they did throw him under the bus very, very fast, they were right. Everything that they talked about that he did not do, they were right. And that needs to happen more. More people who are not doing their fucking jobs, that they raise their hand and say, I'm going to do this, need to be held accountable. And if they don't do it, throw them under the fucking bus. So
I cannot argue with you. I just cannot. I agree 100%.
So I don't know what's going to happen here. It's horrible for everybody involved. I feel horrible for this man who went through this and didn't have the courage to do his job, because I'm sure every day he feels the pain of this. I don't know that you're ever going to punish this man more than he may be punishing himself mentally. Yeah. But at the same point, there are consequences to actions. And now he is seeing that.
You're locked into the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.